Hello there. Welcome to the Good Old Days of Radio Show. Yep, that's what you got for now, because you downloaded it, or you streamed it, or whatever you did with it. Anyway, this is John Tefteller, your illustrious host, and we are on episode number 3 of a 10-week salute to the writer Cornell Woolrich, referred to by somebody on Facebook in the last few weeks as the Edgar Allan Poe of modern day, which may be a bit of an exaggeration, but not too far-fetched because his stories are pretty darn good. He doesn't go quite as much into the supernatural as Edgar Allan Poe did, but Poe wrote all kinds of things, so we'll let that one slide. In any case, helping us along with this series is our semi-in-resident suspense expert, Dr. Joe Webb, who knows all kinds of facts and trivia that I don't about this this program. And so he's along with me today and will be for the rest of the series, explaining all the little great tidbits about the background to these shows. Today's episode is one of my favorite episodes of suspense. It's called The Black Curtain, and it stars Cary Grant. And I can listen to just about anything Cary Grant does. He's superb in the way he can deliver a script, whether it's a lighthearted comedy or an intense thriller. In this case, an intense thriller. And he's got Lorene Tuttle alongside him, one of my all-time favorite radio actresses. And so this just all adds up to be one great show. So, Dr. Joe Webb, before we hear this, what can you tell us about it?
This is from a Woolrich novel that was published in 1941, and it became a 1942 movie with Burgess Meredith, and the title was Street of Chance. And here's the premise. A man falls on a city sidewalk, okay? Yes. Now, this is very important to me lately because now being over 65, every time you go to the doctor, have you fallen recently?
Oh, no.
A man falls on a city sidewalk, and he can't remember any of the events that brought him there, especially over the last 3 years. He can't really remember his name. Their initials inside his coat aren't the initials of the name that he remembers, and he's accused of murder. So again, another Woolrich plot line: somebody is in a situation they can't control, and it could be a very perilous situation for them. So somehow he has to find out who he is. He has to declare himself innocent in some way with some kind of investigation, and he has to find the real killer. So that's the setup of this particular story. It's a lot of similar themes throughout the Woolrich canon, if you want to call it that.
And it also has elements of Alfred Hitchcock, because the films
that
Cary Grant did with Alfred Hitchcock also mm-hmm. involve him being a man in peril, and he has no idea why or where or how to deal with it, and he somehow right. works it out. So we're proceeding north by northwest here by about 10 years or so.
Yes. And the Hitchcock show in the 1950s did have some Woolrich work on it. So it's there was a different series called Suspicion, which ran concurrent with Alfred Hitchcock Presents for 1 year, where they did a adaptation of 3 o'clock, except it was called 4 o'clock. And Hitchcock just loved that story. So anyways, okay. Let us continue with The Black Curtain. Now, it turns out that Woolrich had a bunch of titles for novels that included the word black, and it seems that Simon and Schuster had an exclusive on what they called the black books. So when Woolrich wanted to write something else or have his work appear through a different publisher, that's when he adopted the name William Irish for that kind of work. So that's why you see William Irish and Cornell Woolrich, and everybody knew it was the same person. So here we are. We got Cary Grant, who is a spectacular radio actor. He's just absolutely terrific.
Yep.
And this is the second time that the story was produced on Suspense. And it wasn't supposed to be on this date. They were supposed to be running to find help with Frank Sinatra. And slipping this particular script in this date was one of the ways that William Spear covered their tracks when there would be a production problem. Suspense ran on a 6 to 8 week schedule. So they were planning out almost 2 months in advance what guests were going to be there, what scripts they were going to use. Because it was an anthology program, and because there were different lead actors every week, they had to do that kind of thing. So whenever they would have some trouble, he would go into the file cabinet and find a script that they really loved, and then see if they can find the original actor or someone else to take that part. Cary Grant loved being on Suspense, and Spear really liked this particular script. So when it came time for them to find a fill-in for this Sinatra script, this is what was there, and they tried to gloss over it a little bit, because To Find Help was announced in some newspapers by saying that this is the first anniversary of Suspense's sponsorship by Roma Wine. So they wanted to have a convenient excuse for why they were repeating this particular episode.
And do we know why Frank Sinatra wasn't available that day?
Frank's schedule was constantly changing, and it often had to do with travel and other kinds of performances.
Ah. Or maybe his mob boss handlers wanted him somewhere else that night.
As an aside,
yes,
the script To Find Help was always intended for Frank. It was written by Mel Donnelly, and it was the original title was The Man, and The Man ended up becoming a big franchise for Mel Donnelly because it was adapted for the stage and for television. And became a movie, a Beware My Lovely, with Ida Lupino. But when Suspense finally got Frank Sinatra, it was the biggest contract that they had ever paid. It was $12,000 for the appearance. Like Jimmy Stewart was getting five, but Frank and the joke among some of the cast members was that because they had to pay for Frank's other people.
Yeah, what other people would those be?
Frank would not come in alone. Frank needed people to help make sure he didn't get to trouble.
We'll have to dig that one out someday and play it, because I don't know that I've ever heard that. To Find Help with Frank Sinatra.
To Find Help, yes.
Okay.
So anyways, that's why Black Curtain is here. And in some ways, they thought it might be a good luck charm because they ran this again in the hour-long version of Suspense. As its first episode in January 1948. Thinking that it was the first episode of the Roma run, maybe it could be the first episode of the hour-long run, they could have the same kind of luck for that.
Yeah. Well.
So this is Cary Grant and Lorene Tuttle, as you mentioned, our favorite Wally Mayer. And also in here is Harry Lang, who would be later be Pancho on the Cisco Kid, and Joe Kearns, and a young Conrad Binion playing a young boy.
Oh.
And
yeah. I knew him. I didn't know he's in this, but I knew him. Yeah, Conrad Binion just passed away within the last year. He was living in Texas when he passed away. I knew him when he was still in L.A. Anyway, okay. This here we go with Cary Grant, Lorene Tuttle, etc. The Black Curtain from November 30th, 1944. Another great Cornell Woolrich story, and we'll be back with some more trivia after the show.
Now, Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, The Black Curtain, starring Cary Grant. Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant. As Roma Wines bring you Suspense. This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight in Hollywood, we are honored and happy to have with us one of the entertainment world's most distinguished gentlemen, Mr. Cary Grant. This becomes somewhat of an anniversary broadcast, since it was 1 year ago tonight that Mr. Grant inaugurated this series of suspense programs sponsored by Roma Wines. And in response to requests from our listeners, he will appear once more in the suspense play by Cornell Woolrich, which starred him on that occasion. And so, with the Black Curtain and with the performance of Cary Grant, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
It began, or rather life began again for me, I guess you'd say, that day on that street. My head was pounding terribly. I could hear all the noise and the people milling around. Everything was a jumble at first.
All right, gangway, let the doc through.
Oh, I seen it happen, Mr. Policeman. He was running. Boy, he really gave himself a clunk on the beam.
All right, now get back there.
Oh, my head.
All right, take it easy, brother.
His wallet fell out of his pocket, and a big boy grabbed it and ran away.
Back, everybody, back. Give the doctor room.
No, I'm okay. Never mind, Doc, I'm okay.
Uh-huh. Well, there seems to be nothing much the matter with you, sir.
No, I'm all right, thanks.
I guess I can talk to him now, Doc.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, officer. Just a bad bump on the head, I think. Yeah, you're all right. You can walk all right, can't you? Yeah, sure. Here, let me brush you off.
Oh, thanks. I'll be fine. Hey, wait a minute. What am I doing with an overcoat on?
All right, mister. Now, just so they got it on the blotter, what's your name and where do you live?
Townsend, Frank Townsend, 820 Rutherford Street.
Here, have a cigarette. Just a little shake.
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
Well, I'll be getting back. Drop in at the receiving hospital if you want us to check you out.
Yes, I will.
All right, Mac, take it.
Hey, here's your hat, mister. I found it.
Oh, thanks, kid.
Well, that's all now. Come on, move along. This guy's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, son. Yeah, sorry about the fella that got your wallet. Anyway, here's your cigar case, Mr. Townsend. Guy found it right alongside of you.
Oh, thanks, but I don't own a case.
Huh?
And besides, look at the initials. D.N.
I don't know, same initials in the hat. See? D.N.
Yes, but this isn't my hat.
Huh. Don't you even know your own hat, mister?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think. Where is this?
What?
Well, this street.
You're on Tillery Street.
Tillery Street?
Yes.
Well, what am I doing on Tillery Street?
All right, now, sir. My suggestion is that you go on home and go lie down. It's cold. It's starting to snow again.
Wait a minute. Don't leave me. Huh? Tell me. What happened?
Oh, you slipped on this icy sidewalk. Fell down, hit your head good and hard on the curb. You were out for about 20 minutes.
Wait. Ice on the sidewalk?
Well, look at it. That street cleaning department ought to clear away that snow, too.
But snow and ice?
Sure. Why?
Snow in July?
July? It's December. December 1944.
1944?
Yeah, you better get on home, son. Good night.
1944? December 1944. Why, the last I remember was July 1941. 3 years just gone. Amnesia. A black curtain comes down over your mind out of nowhere. Well, that black curtain had been over my eyes for 3 years. Where had I been? Who had I been? I hadn't been Frank Townsend. I'd been someone else. D.N. Someone whose initials were D.N. I walked along Tillery Street thinking about it. Those 3 years. I could have been married. I could have been a thief. I could have... Something made me turn around on the street for a moment. And that was when I first saw him. Gray eyes. He'd been talking to the cop who took my name. He looked up as I did. And then he started to walk rapidly in my direction. I backed away instinctively. Something about him spelled trouble. He called to me and came forward.
Hey, you stop, Townsend!
Instinctively, Townsend. I knew I should run, get away from him.
Hey, you!
I looked back as I rounded the corner. He had a gun in his hand. He raised it. And then I turned and ran for my life.
What lay behind that black curtain which separated Townsend from his past? Roma Wines are presenting Hollywood's distinguished Cary Grant as star of tonight's tale of suspense. Haven't you often realized that many of life's finest enjoyments are simple and moderate rather than the opposite? I give you the words of a high and well-loved authority, Miss Elsa Maxwell, international expert on smart entertaining and gracious living.
Good hospitality is always simple, genuine, and moderate. That is why I often suggest enjoyment of delicious Roma Sauterne when you have friends in to dinner or with your everyday meals. Serve this delicate golden sauterne, well chilled, with any food in any glasses you have. Special wine glasses are pretty, but not very important.
Now, what can I add to such charming good sense as that? Maybe just this. Roma Sauterne and all Roma wines are the best that California's magnificent sun-ripened grapes can provide. In glorious color, fragrance, and flavor. Protected for you by the ancient wine skill of Roma's famed wineries. That's why Roma wines and Roma quality do not vary, never fall short, but are always enjoyable. Unchanging high quality gives tremendous popularity to Roma wines and makes low cost possible. Only pennies a glass. Remember, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wines. R-O-M-A, Roma wines.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Mr. Cary Grant and The Black Curtain, a story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Why was that man following me with a gun? What did Gray Eyes want with me? I must have done something. I had to get away someplace to be safe and think. I beat it down into the subway and hid. For 2 hours, I stayed down there. I thought it all out carefully during those 2 hours. I knew I was on the spot for something. Gray Eyes meant business. What could it be? Who had I been during those last 3 years with that black curtain in front of them? Well, maybe I'd been a gangster, and he was one of a mob that wanted to rub me out. I didn't know. There was no identification. My wallet stolen. Nothing in my pockets that would help. Just D.N. in the hat. And D.N. on the cigar case. D.N. Oh, my head was aching with worry and my stomach had panic in it. I had to find out who I'd been, what I had done. But how? Where? Tillery Street. Yes, that's where I'd been when I woke up. Tillery Street. Well, maybe Gray Eyes would go back there too looking for me. But I had to take that chance. Tillery Street. Pop.
Hello. Oh, hello there.
Oh, you know me.
Sure. Couldn't see under that hat at first. What can I do for you?
Well, say, have you got an evening paper I could look at?
No, sorry, never read them. Too much trouble in the world these days, anyhow. Say, how you been? You haven't been around 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I've been busy. Look, Pop.
Yeah?
I made a bet with a friend of mine that even though you see so many customers, you'd walk right up and give me my full name.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't know it. I don't think I ever heard your name. But I know your girl.
My girl?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do?
Sure.
Well, now, maybe I can still win my bet, huh?
Well, of course. Ruth is right across the street, the Tillery Apartments.
Ruth? Well, that's right. Ruth. Huh. Ah, but now, what apartment?
Apartment 3C, of course. Don't I take the sandwiches up there every night?
3C? Yeah, well, thanks.
Will you win your bet, mister?
What? Oh, yeah, I think I will.
What is your name, so as I'll know it next time?
Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow. I hope.
So long.
So long, Pop. I'll be...
What's the matter? Drop something?
No, nothing. Nothing. I'm just tying my shoe. I'd just been going to walk out when I saw him standing across the street. Gray Eyes again. I ducked down behind the store window and watched him. He looked over in my direction and then up and down the street. Oh, then he lit a cigarette and strolled down to the corner. The minute he disappeared, I yanked the door open, dashed out, ran across the Tillery Apartments, and went in.
Who is it?
Ruth?
Yes?
It's me.
Dan! Oh, Danny, where... Get in here. Oh, darling, it's really you. I thought...
Hello, Ruth.
Oh, Danny, why did you come here? He's been around twice today. He may be in the neighborhood right now, for all you know.
Yeah? Who?
Who? Well, Slattery, of course.
Slattery? Uh-huh. Has he got gray eyes?
What? Yeah. Did you ever see a detective that didn't?
Oh, sure, sure.
Danny, what's the matter with you? You're acting so strangely.
I just want to look at you.
You seem so different, so far away. You haven't kissed me.
Well, that's easily fixed.
Oh, darling. Darling, where have you been for 3 weeks?
Oh, all around. Miss me? Oh,
you know I did. Danny, do you think we could get away tonight? I've got $3,000 saved up. We could go to Mexico or South America. We could get married. Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Nearing, tour the world.
Daniel Nearing. Mr. and Mrs.
Sounds plenty good to me.
Oh, you will never know how good.
We'll get out of here tonight. I'll call up and tell him I'm quitting my job. I'll say I'm sick. All my stuff's here. Nothing out there but a couple of uniforms. I'll make Ada and Franklin a present of those.
Ada and Franklin?
Well, don't you bother your head about those two. Maybe they weren't glad when it happened. A couple of vultures. Bye to them. Oh, with you back, Danny. Just think, with my $3,000,
yes, but do you think you ought to quit your job?
Well, absolutely, I think so. I never was cut out to be a nurse anyway.
No, if you weren't. Any more than I was...
Any more than you were meant to be a secretary.
Oh, that's right. I never wanted to be a secretary. Just drifted into it, I guess. And got on my nerves, especially toward the end. The boss was no cinch to work for.
He certainly wasn't. He was a rat. Oh, the whole Dietrich bunch are mean, rotten, the whole family.
Yes, that's right.
All except the old man.
Oh, the old man. Yes, I sort of liked him, didn't I?
He loves you, Danny. I think he wished you'd been his son. Poor old man, he's the only reason I've stuck around out there this long.
How are things out there?
Oh, they've been questioning all of us. They've laid off lately, though, since you... Oh, don't let's talk anymore about it. You're back, that's the main thing. I want to forget New Jericho and the whole deal.
New Jericho, huh?
Yes. Oh, Danny, if only it hadn't happened.
What hadn't?
You know what. Danny, what's going to become of you and me?
I wish I knew.
Danny, get away from that window. Leave that shade down.
He's down there.
Who?
Gray Eyes. He's standing in front of the hydrant. He's coming in here, in the building.
Oh, did he see you?
Listen, Ruth, will you help me?
What are you going to do?
Give myself up.
No, no.
Well, it's better than getting shot at. What can they do to me?
You crazy fool, they can send you to the chair.
The chair?
Well, what do you think happens to a man when he's guilty of murder?
Murder? Ruth, listen to me. I'm not a murderer. If the whole world says I committed murder, I say I didn't. The me that's in me says I didn't.
I never said your word, Danny. I always said you didn't do it. But they found the body and they... Oh, only you hadn't run away.
So that's it.
All right, Nearing, open up.
Oh, why did you come here, Danny? Why? Why?
Ruth, quick. We've got to get out of here. How about the fire escape? Shaft. Dumbwaiter.
Dumbwaiter. In here.
All right, lock that kitchen door. Get in. I'll stand on top with the ropes.
I don't think it can hold us both.
It's got to.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Danny. Oh, Danny, what do we do?
We're going back there to New Jericho.
New Jericho? Oh, no, Danny, don't. Please. For me, no.
I've got to. I've got to find out, Ruth. We're going together.
No, no, no. Danny, I've got the money. We can get out of here. We can...
Stop it.
Oh, Danny, my arm. You're hurting me.
Okay, Ruth. From here on in, we're sticking together. You're going to take me back there. Back where it happened.
All right, darling. Crazy, but I'll go wherever you go. I can't lose you again.
On the train, Ruth and I said very little to each other. While I had hidden the telephone booth at Pennsylvania Station, she'd bought us a couple of cheap overcoats, and I sat hunched up in mine, thinking. Ruth had brought along the newspaper clippings. I looked at what they said for the 20th time, trying to see if there was anything there that would help me. Dietrich Slayer sought, it said. Secretary wanted in brutal slaying at suburban estate. Police are pressing the search for Daniel Nearing, secretary in the employ of the late John Dietrich, 58, member of a well-known local family, who was shot and killed in the drawing room of his New Jericho estate on the morning of November the 7th. Nearing disappeared November the 7th, on the morning of which date he is known to have had a bitter quarrel with the deceased. This last was attested to at the inquest by Ada and Franklin Dietrich, widow and brother of the murdered man. Well, I had all the facts now. Wanted for murder. And yet everything that was in me told me that no matter who I'd been, however many memories I'd lost, that I was no killer, that I just couldn't have.
No Jericho.
I had to get into the Dietrich house and stand again in that room where it had all happened. Maybe something would come back to me. Maybe there would be...
No Jericho!
See, Ada and Franklin just left. They drove down to the village.
Did they say anything about you being out here on your day off?
Yeah, Ada made some crack.
Uh-huh.
But I said I had nothing to do in town and came out to write some letters.
Well, let's go then.
Oh, Danny, I'm scared. Please, let's not stay here.
Now, you said you loved me.
I do, Danny, I do. That's why I'm scared. They're only going to the village. They'll be back in a half hour at the most.
Now, open the door, Ruth. Hurry. I've got to see the inside, that room, the place where it happened.
Oh, it's wrong, Daddy. I'm telling you, you're crazy. They'll find you.
Open the door, Ruth. Quickly. All right. Now, let's have a look at that room.
Please, Daddy, please. Don't talk about it.
So this is where I'm supposed to have murdered John Dietrich,
Daddy,
huh?
Please.
Well, where was it? Show me exactly where it was, Ruth. I've got to know.
It was there. Right there. He was standing by the grandfather's clock when... Are you going crazy, Danny? If they get you, you'll hang.
By the clock. You still believe me, don't you, Ruth?
I believe you, Danny, but I'm scared. I love you.
Ruth, wait a minute. What's that? Listen.
It's only the old man. He's asleep in that room off there. Don't go in there, Danny. Don't. You'll wake him.
I want to see him.
Don't, Danny, don't. He can't help you. You know he's paralyzed and he can't talk.
Turn on the light. I want to see him.
There, you woke him. It's me, Mr. Dietrich. Ruth, this is Danny. You remember Danny, don't you?
Hello, Mr. Dietrich.
See how his eyes are shining.
Yes. Was he here when it happened?
You know that, Danny. Why do you ask such funny questions? He's been in bed here for 5 years.
Well, then, that mirror on the wall here, the clock. Look, you can see the grandfather's clock in the other room.
What are you getting at, Danny?
Well, he could see it. The old man could see the murder through the mirror. Oh, if he could only talk.
But he can't talk. You scare me, Danny.
He saw the man who killed John Dietrich. Look, he understands what I'm saying. He's blinking his eyes.
Oh, stop torturing him, Danny. Can't you see what you're doing to him?
He's trying to say something. Look, his eyes are blinking. He's going to help me. Go outside and watch, Ruth. Go on.
Well, I'll watch out the entranceway. Be careful, Danny. They'll be back in a minute.
Leave me alone with him.
I'll call if I hear them coming.
Look now. Now, Mr. Dietrich, don't be afraid. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like you to answer me. Are you trying to tell me something about the murder? Now, blink your eyes. Blink twice if you are. That's it. Once, twice. That's good. Did you see it happen? Here, in your mirror? Blink once if the answer is no. Twice if the answer is yes. Once, twice! You did, huh? You saw it. Now then. Is the murderer in this house?
Danny, they're coming. Franklin, Ada, get out of here and hide. Run, Danny, run.
Is the murderer in this house? Blink once for no, twice for yes. Yes, in this house.
Danny, they're coming.
Wait, I've almost got it. Mr. Dietrich, was it me? Once for no, twice for yes. Was it me?
Get out of here, Danny. They're in the big room behind the curtains. I'll talk to them.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mr. Dietrich. I'll be back.
Room.
Yes, Mrs. Dietrich.
Are you here alone?
Well, yes. Why?
We thought we heard voices. What are you so jittery about, Ruth?
I'm tired, that's all. May I go to bed now?
Father's still awake, Ruth.
He'll go to sleep all right. I'm going upstairs, Mrs. Dietrich, now.
Good night, Ruth.
Good Good night.
She's brought someone back here with her. It's him, I think.
Who? Dan? Oh, Franklin.
Take it easy, darling. Take it easy. If he's here, we'll get him.
Well, after the evidence we gave against him at the hearing... Oh, I'm scared. Let's get out of here fast. I'll go to the village for the police.
No, call the police. Here, I'll do it. Hello? Hello? It's too late. It's dead. The wire's been cut. Come on, we'll both drive to the village.
But he may be waiting for us out by the car.
Ada.
What? Oh. What are you doing there, Franklin?
I think I just might need my gun. Well, come on, let's be on our way.
The moment they left the house, I made for the old man's room. I called for Ruth, but she was gone. Well, maybe Frankie and Ada caught her after she cut the telephone wire, but I couldn't wait. My life was hanging on minutes now. I shot the flashlight on the old man's face again. Now, Mr. Dietrich, you're helping me fine. You know I'm trying to save my life, don't you? Now, the murderer. Was it me? Was it me who did it? Me, Danny Nearing? Blink once for no. Once! You're sure? You're sure it wasn't me? Oh, you're smiling, Mr. Dietrich, smiling. Now, it was somebody in this house. Then who was it? Oh, can't you make a sound? Help me, you've got to. Was it Ada? Twice for yes, once for no. Once, not Ada. All right, then. Was it Franklin?
Up with the hands, Nearing, or you'll never go to trial.
Franklin, wait a minute. You've got to listen. You've got to.
Get out that flashlight. So you're trying to kill the old man, too, eh? The murderer returns to the scene of his crime.
You know I didn't kill him.
Oh, tell that to the police. They'll have them here in a couple of minutes. Where's your girlfriend, Ruth?
She's not here. I don't know where she went.
Never mind. They'll find her. You're the dead duck, Nearing. Killed my brother and beat it. What did you ever get out of it? That's always puzzled me.
You killed your brother, and now you're going to kill me.
Oh, you've gone nuts, too. Why should I kill my own brother, you idiot?
To get his share of the estate, and his wife Ada, amongst other things. But you can't stop with killing me. Someone else knows the truth. The old man saw it in the mirror.
Huh?
Yes, you'll have to kill your own father,
the
too.
The old man saw it? How do you know?
He told me.
You're lying. He can't walk. He can't talk. He can't even move.
He can hear, and he can blink his eyes. Now, come over here and look.
Look here, you...
Bruce!
I had to do it! I heard him. He was going to kill you. Here's the gun, Danny. Take it. He'll be all right.
Well, Ruth, you shouldn't have done that. In another minute, I'm not sure it was Franklin.
Oh, Dan, darling, please, please, let's run for it. They'll be here in a second. It's your last chance. They'll all swear you did it.
Not if I can be with the old man another half minute. Mr. Dietrich, it's Danny again.
No, Danny, don't.
Tell me, Mr. Dietrich, was it Franklin? Did Franklin kill your son, John? Blink once if he did. What's the matter, Mr. Dietrich? Don't be afraid. I won't hurt you. Why are you afraid? He's afraid, Ruth. Oh, it's this gun. Here, take the gun, Ruth. You take it. He's afraid. I'm not going to hurt you, Mr. Dietrich. Well, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me? Who killed John Dietrich? It wasn't me. It wasn't Ada. It wasn't Franklin. But someone in the house. Was it... Ruth! Ruth! You!
I told you not to come. Oh, I love you, Danny. I wanted you. I wouldn't have let them get you.
Oh, why, Ruth? Why did you kill John Dietrich?
He was always after me. He wouldn't leave me alone. I hated him. And that night he came at me, threatened me, said he'd kill me. If he couldn't have me, nobody could. He had a gun, Danny. I got it away from him. He hit the clock. He leaned against it. Thought he'd never fall down. Die. It was the day you ran away, and I was crazy. They thought it was you, and they started looking.
Oh, you. Why was it you?
I love you, Danny. I love you. I begged you not to come back here.
Ruth, please, put down that gun.
No. Stand back, Danny. Stay right over there. I just want to look at you. I was hoping we could get away together. But you've been through enough, Danny. All because of me. Now you're clear, Danny. And this is going to clear me. Darling.
Ruth. Dear Ruth.
Well, that's about all there is to tell. I've tried to put it all behind me, to resume my life where it left off 3.5 years ago. But sometimes when it gets toward evening, I go and walk along Tillery Street. And once in a while, somebody I don't know, will say, "Hello, Danny." And I just say, "Hello," and walk on. I don't want to find out anything more. I want it all to die away and be still. And it will. All except Ruth. Because somewhere behind that black curtain, I was loved. And loved someone. We must have known a love that I'll never know again.
And so closes The Black Curtain, starring Cary Grant. Tonight's study in Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear.
We are sometimes asked, why does Miss Elsa Maxwell always say it is smart to serve Roma wine? Her explanation is simple.
It is smart to serve Roma wine, first of all, because Roma wines are so delicious, so good with food or any time. It is smart, further, because Roma wine affords simple pleasure, enjoyment that is truly moderate. Finally, it is smart because it is such an easy and inexpensive addition to hospitality and everyday living.
Yes, in every way, it is smart to serve and enjoy Roma wines. They are California's finest, always good, unvaryingly fine in flavor and quality. And remember, the cost is only pennies a glass. More Americans enjoy Roma than any other wines. Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wines.
This is Cary Grant. I certainly enjoyed reappearing tonight on Suspense. It's a program I've always admired tremendously, and it has achieved distinguished success during this past year. 2 weeks from tonight, my friend Robert Montgomery will be your star in one of the really all-time great suspense plays, The Lodger. Next Thursday, there will be no performance of Suspense because the time will be given over to a special Pearl Harbor Day program on behalf of the 6 Warlone Drive. And that brings me to the 7 most important words I could say to you at this time. Buy more war bonds and save them.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Don't forget then, next Thursday, no performance of Suspense. But 2 weeks from tonight, on December 14th, Mr. Robert Montgomery will be your star of Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there it was. The Black Curtain with Cary Grant, Lorene Tuttle, Wally Mayer, written by our focus of the good old days radio show for the next few weeks, Cornell Woolrich. All right, Dr. Joe Webb, tell us some more about some details about this that we haven't heard and some trivia.
Since I've been advised that films can only be mentioned if they're available on DVD...
At least on this podcast, you can.
Exactly. Yes. This story was adapted on the Alfred Hitchcock Hour, which is available on DVD, and was on November 15th, 1962. That's during the hour-long version after the half-hour version, a series.
Well, as long as they're still making DVDs, go out and buy it. Anyway, okay. Are we done with the Black Curtain, Dr. Joe?
We're done with the Black Curtain.
We're going to ring down the Black Curtain.
Ring down the Black Curtain. And next week, when somebody says they're going to go run a quick errand and be right back, don't trust it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I heard this one. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, just a quick little errand. Okay, well, I'm going to go run a quick little errand now, and I'll be back next week. And I really will. on Thursday. This is John Jeff Teller and the Good Old Days Radio Show. Special guest, Dr. Joe Webb, suspense expert extraordinaire. And we shall return next Thursday with another great tribute to Cornell Woolrich, the legendary legendary writer of interesting and strange murder stories from the 1940s. And until then, this is John Teff Teller saying goodbye.